Our New Testament lesson today comes from John chapter 6. And that's in your red pew Bible on page 868. John chapter 6, and I will begin reading at verse 51. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. This also is the word of the Lord. So two passages, two verses that I want you to particularly notice before you close your Bible today. The first one is verse 53, where Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. And verse 56 says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." Now, obviously, Jesus is talking about not cannibalism, but a spiritual consumption of the Lord. In the Last Supper, we celebrate the body and blood of Jesus, and we say, "This is the bread. This bread is the new covenant. This is the body of Christ," and we eat it. And then we drink the juice and say, "This is the blood of Christ poured out for you." And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here, that he will come into us if we invite him. He is the true bread. If you eat normal bread, of course you will die. But if you eat the true bread, you will live forever. Eternal life comes with consuming the real, the true bread. Jesus is referring to his death on the cross, the sacrifice that he made, and the invitation that we extend to him, that he will come and abide in us and we will abide in him. Now, let me say a few things about what that does mean and what it doesn't mean. Abiding in Christ and having Christ abide in you does not mean that you will have supernatural accomplishments. You may have supernatural accomplishments. Some people accomplish incredible things. But there are some wicked people that have also accomplished incredible things. You don't measure the presence of God by what you can or cannot accomplish. For example, Adolf Hitler was a remarkable man. He brought all of Europe under his control. He was able to incarcerate a whole ethnic group of people. He killed millions. I'm not sure I would call him a great man, but what he accomplished was remarkable in an evil sense. But you can't even for a moment think that had anything to do with God. That was anti-God, if anything ever was anti-God. But he became notorious. He was incredibly well known. I suspect all except the youngest children in this room have heard the name Adolf Hitler. So accomplishments are not necessarily what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about life in you. There are other names: Osama bin Laden, Joseph Stalin, Saddam Hussein, Jerry Sandusky, the pedophile from Penn State University. All of these men were very successful. They accomplished things, but they were evil. So the presence of God and the life that God gives is not necessarily about accomplishments or power or notoriety or fame or fortune. You see, every human being is given gifts and abilities by God. All of us have been designed by God for certain purposes in this world, and we are designed to accomplish those purposes. If you don't do what God wants you to do, who knows where your life will end up? Hopefully you won't be like Saddam Hussein or Joseph Stalin, but you are designed to accomplish something for God, not for yourself. So use your capabilities to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. That's what Jesus is talking about. Earlier in this chapter, the crowds came to him. Remember, he fed 5,000 on a hillside on the Lake of Galilee. And then he walked on the water that night and got to the boat where his disciples were, and they went on to Capernaum. And the next day, the people, the 5,000 that he fed, came looking for him. And when they got there, Jesus said, "You're not looking for me for the true bread, you're looking at me for the bread that I fed you with." The true bread is the true life that God gives. That's what is being offered to all of us. The accomplishments of our life need to be about what God offers rather than what we can do by ourselves with what God has birthed in us. So we are created for God's purposes, not our own. I read this week about St. Patrick, the saint of Ireland. And I understand he lived in the 4th and 5th centuries. There is some dispute about his actual dates. But St. Patrick, I read about St. Francis this week too. St. Patrick was born into a noble family of Romans who lived in Britain at the time. And he was captured by Druids and pagans and carried off to Ireland to be a slave. He was a young teenager when he was kidnapped and taken into slavery. And St. Francis, in his own words that are still remaining till today, developed a prayer life and a dependence upon God. St. Francis said that he prayed sometimes 1,000 times a day. Now that's a lot of praying, folks. There's not a whole lot of minutes in a day more than 1,000. So he prayed almost every minute if he got to 1,000 prayers a day. But St. Francis heard the voice of God one day that said, "Escape and go to the seacoast." I'm sorry, St. Patrick. And he did that. And he got to the seacoast and found a boat that was going back to England, got on that boat, and was reunited with his family. But the call of God was powerful in St. Patrick's life. He became a priest, and God called him to return to Ireland. And some people think that Christianity was saved because of St. Patrick. I don't agree with that. I think Christianity was saved because of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, even through his suffering, even through the tragedies that happened in his life, he found life, gave that life to God, and God used him to accomplish great things. One of my favorites is Betty Elliott. I had the opportunity to meet Betty Elliott when I was in seminary. Betty Elliott is the wife of Jim Elliott, and Jim Elliott was one of the missionaries in the 50s, 1956, if I remember correctly. A group of seven men from New Tribes Missions went down to Ecuador, and they made contact with a tribe of Indians who had never been contacted before by what we would call civilization. Of course, they had their own civilization. But these seven missionaries made contact with these Indians, and it was going well. They were giving them gifts. They had met them face to face. And for some unknown reason, the Indians, the Aka Indians, got frightened one night and came to where the missionaries were sleeping and slaughtered them brutally in an ugly, horrible, violent way. Betty Elliott, whose husband, Jim Elliott, was slaughtered in that raid that night, was pregnant when Jim Elliott died. A couple of years after the incident, Betty Elliott took her infant child and moved into that village that was responsible for the murder of her husband. I'm happy to report to you that that whole tribe was converted to Christianity, every one of them. Betty Elliott had the opportunity to lead the man who murdered her husband to Jesus. Today, Betty's children, Nate Saint's children, another one of the men who were murdered that night, are best friends with the children of the men who murdered their fathers. Life is what Jesus gives. Life that sets us free. Life that is bigger than ourselves and our own ambitions. Jesus gives life. He created you. He knows why he created you. Our responsibility is to put our lives into the hands of the Savior. Life does not always come without pain or problems, but it is connection to Jesus. It is eternity. It's connection to God. Again, the verse says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I abide in them." There's nothing you can do with your life, nothing, that is more important and significant than putting it into the hands of God. Connection with eternity. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Jesus wants to be connected. He wants your life connected to his life. God wants to place the life of God into your life. He wants to come into your heart, transform you, give you new life, and use you for his purposes in this world. So my question is, do you have any life in you? Let us pray. We all want to live significant lives. I'm not sure we all want to be suffering or experience pain. We would like to avoid the difficulties, Lord, but we know that that's not a promise, that we will avoid difficulties. I pray that you will inspire us through the life, the vitality, the vibrancy that was in St. Patrick, Betty Elliott, and millions of others. Wherever we are, Lord, help us to be alive in your Spirit. Help us to be connected to you and to draw our strength from you. be able to live the life that you want us to live. Hear our prayer. In the great name of Jesus, we offer this prayer. Amen.